Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the podcast where we talk about musicals and everything that they teach us. I am your host, Ainsley Weber, here with my fabulous co-host,
Julie Eisenschlager,
and our super guest host,
Joshua Teer.
How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Back
thanks.
To talk about another musical.
As always.
Sometimes. You're not always here.
As always when I come to talk about a musical.
And this week we have our super special guest, none other than...
Alicia Poulter. Hi.
How are you going?
I am good. Glad to be here.
And what musical did you want to talk about today?
So I was having a think, and I think we should talk about something that's not often broached, but I think we should talk about Seussical.
We should talk about Seussical. I'm surprised that we haven't spoken about Seussical before.
Oh, we've definitely spoken about Seussical before.
That we haven't spoken about Seussical at length before.
Like with an episode dedicated to it.
We've also spoken about it at length.
That we haven't spoken about it at length to my satisfaction before, because it is one of my favourite musicals of all
time. I don't know
time.
If we can speak to it at length to your satisfaction.
We will have to
I could
wait
give that a good
see.
Try.
My.
Dr. Seuss is one of my favourite people, full stop, and yep. Seussical does him justice.
The Grinch makes my heart grow three it's sizes probably every time I watch it. I love it.
All right, but before we get into Seussical, let's get to know Alicia. So, who wants to sing the Getting to Know You song?
Shoddy in Miranda style.
All right, okay. I won't.
I'm going to do my best Miranda impression.
All right.
Okay, I'm channeling her. Yes. Channeling her.
Please make sure that you play with your chest some more.
Well, that's what she does.
That's what she does.
Getting to know you.
Whew, that was a bit too breathy for my taste. But
maybe I winded myself playing with my chest.
But Alicia, what musical character would other people compare you to?
Okay, so there's been one character that has come up regularly, and that's Tracy Turnblad.
Nice.
Not just because of my size, for those that can't see me, I'm definitely a plus size girl.
But Tracy Turnblad type.
Yeah, Tracy Turnblad type. But also because I'm a little bit hypo some of the time or most of the time.
Just like think of it as like a sunny, optimistic, go-getter disposition.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
but also quite stubborn about it. Like she's right. And she's not going to apologize for it.
Oh, yeah, no two ways about it. Like, so yeah, that. But the other thing came up just last week, and I'm going to own this one as well.
Ooh.
My niece, who is 5, Perry had said they were watching, I know this is not a musical, not a stage musical, but it's a movie musical. They were watching
we'll
Greatest Showman.
We'll allow it this time.
We'll allow it. And she had turned to her mum and my sister and said, "That's like Auntie Alicia about the bearded lady." My sister thought
nice.
I'd be offended.
Yeah.
I am not offended.
No, that's a great
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
On behalf of people who have played bearded ladies, it's a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, yeah, no, she is probably the best role in that movie.
Oh,
yes.
But I think definitely. Also someone who's can take on that, you know, optimistic stubbornness as well. So if
and
two characters
and own what they're given.
You
know? Yeah.
So I'll take that.
All right. Well, what musical character would you like other people to compare you to if it's not just those two?
So, okay. This is hard to say because I can't pick the exact character. I like the optimism of Tracy Turnblad. Mm-hmm. And she definitely has a strength, but it's not as, like, sure, as determined as, like, maybe a character that's stronger but without being a villain that still is optimistic. I don't know. I can't think of one.
Are you thinking of what is the name from Little Women? Joe from Little Women.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Oh.
Oopsie.
Are you snoring or groaning?
Both. She's such a whinger.
But she's also very strong.
I don't think she is. I think she just likes to whinge.
I mean, she whinges, but she also does something about it. Mm. She doesn't wait for
Once
other people.
Once she's had her whinge, you've got to sit through the whinge first.
Dear Julie, you have been known to whinge on occasion.
On occasion, all the time. Why do you think I hate her?
All right, excellent. No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what is your dream role?
There'd be a couple of dream roles. I absolutely love Becky from Waitress for the reasons I just said about her. She's gone through so much, but she's just so strong and so positive.
I was so peeved when I read the Australian casting brief for that to find out that in Australia 40s. She needs to be 40s to 50s.
She's never been 40s to 50s.
Never.
Nope.
And I'm like, okay, so if I'm not of colour, I've got to be old. I can't just be fat because I've got that. I was so mad.
I know, because in no production has she been that age.
Maybe she has, we've just not realised it. But she's never looked older.
She's never been
older,
played as ever. That.
She's never been played at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... Let's say that, Ralph.
Like fire-breathing mad.
Okay. Well, no, I can tell. I'm sitting across
there
the table from
you. There is steam coming from that.
I'm going to have some
table.
Water. Quench that fat.
All right. Well, what is your favourite Sondheim show, Alicia?
Okay, maybe a toss-up. I'll go with this one because it's still a heartbreak in my heart. Into the Woods.
Okay.
Because I loved... like everything about Little Woods, but had such – I spent months delving into Little Red.
Yeah.
Because I was going to audition for it. And then the company that was doing it pulled it.
Oh.
Wah.
And it was like I didn't even get to do the audition and I'd worked on this girl and I love her. So I fell in love with Little Red because I met her and worked on her and got to know her and then never got to
– You can audition next year. Yeah. You should be right.
Little Red is amazing and, again, one of those characters that kind of grows up to have that strength and stuff and strength.
Yeah, there might be a theme.
Might be a theme. So what is your go-to shower song?
Okay, so this is going to shock and awe everyone out there that actually knows me.
Okay, then it might not shock and awe me that much.
No. Well, because most people would think I would pick a belt song.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, definitely.
No, you always go opposite of what you truly are for the shower.
Yeah.
I'm not a belter. I sing belts.
I'm not a belter. I'm not a belter and I sing Bring On The Men, so think about that.
I love Bring On The Men, by the way.
I know, right.
But at the moment it's either No One Else.
What's that one?
Or it's from The Great Comet. It's like... I love it.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
All right. Yeah.
Or With You from Ghost with all the like beautiful head register. Mm. Oh my gosh.
I've only listened to Ghost twice and I can't remember that song.
I'll give you a sample. That really took you by surprise.
I don't like this at all. But, okay. All right.
But yeah.
All right. So now is the controversial question. That everyone...
You can do it.
Everyone must answer.
Yes.
What musical would you delete from existence?
Backspace.
Control, Alt.
I don't...
Delete.
It's so final. Okay, so I had a thought about it and it was really, really hard because delete is like, you know, even though there's lots of musicals I might not enjoy, it deletes it for everyone and there might be people
that
love it.
You don't like the people that love it because they love that musical.
I came up with a solution.
Oh my, she's deleting everything.
No. So, okay, I want to delete the 1988 version of Carrie. okay. and leave the 2012 version of Carrie
as the
only
one
Carrie.
That flopped.
Yeah. Huh. yeah. Delete the spandex, high energy, let's get physical version
I'm
on stage.
Sorry, what?
That was the original Carrie.
The original Carrie in is done in like full spandex in a gym and it's like, let's get physical choreo.
It's pretty horrendous.
Fan kick, split like jump.
Deserved its
death.
It deserved what happened.
Right.
To it.
Yeah. So where that would work for Heathers, I can see why that wouldn't work for Carrie.
Yeah. So wow. I want to delete that version of Carrie because
that's
fine. I think the 2012 version is amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
And I think people don't listen to it because they're jaded by the original.
Well, a lot of people didn't even realize that it existed before 2012 because it was those it closed on its opening night.
Oh my
sort of
god.
Disasters.
Jeez. Someone really did not read the room on that one, eh?
All right. Well, we know all that we need to know about Alicia now, so let's take a little break and then we will dive headfirst into the ocean of Seussical. Alrighty, what can you tell us about Seussical, Lisa?
I just dove into the ocean.
So I love Seussical. It looks at so many different little universes that Dr. Seuss created, which is something that I love. It generally is labelled as being Horton Hears a Who, but
I mean,
it doesn't stick to that.
That's the overarching story.
Yeah.
Horton Hears a Who, but you also have little vignettes from the Grinch. You have little vignettes from the Cat in the Hat. You have little vignettes from in Whoville.
Yeah, definitely. We see more than just that one little storyline. So I absolutely love it. I think it's super bright. It's super colourful. Basically, we meet everyone in the jungle. We meet Maisie and Gertrude, all the bird girls, all the Wickershams, Yertle, Horton. We meet everyone
the
in the jungle.
Wickersham brothers.
The Wickersham brothers.
I love it.
Yeah. Do you know who the Wickershams are?
Yes.
Okay.
No idea.
Of course you don't know who the Wickershams are.
They are like
delinquent monkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun.
They are this musical is full of hilarious characters.
Are they like the Mungo Jerry and Rumple Teaser of Seussical?
I reckon if you could cross Grease Monkeys with like a hip hop boy band, that's what you'd get.
Oh, I'm
names? What are the Wickersham brothers' names?
The Wickersham brother. Well, no, they're referred to as the Wickersham brothers. So the Wicks, they're called the Wicks.
Yeah,
I feel like you put enough colour and enough weird names into a show I'm in. Like I'm probably on board with
Maisie LaBird, Gertrude McFuzz.
Oh, that sounds like someone's like lady name. Actually, I've just chosen it for mine.
Well,
steal it.
Gertrude McFuzz.
I'm just going to say Gertrude will be appearing in a number of top five lists at the end of the show.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm keen.
Top five name for my list.
General Genghis Khan Schmitz.
What? I beg your pardon?
General Genghis Khan Schmitz is...
Okay.
Was
that in the book written like that?
Yeah. He appears in
Whoville.
Some of the other books.
Right.
But he's
not in Horton Hears a Who, but some of the Who-based stories.
I really need to brush up on my Who knowledge. I love them. I just don't know them that well.
Yeah. So when Jojo, who is the little boy that can hear, that believes in Horton, when he gets in trouble for imagining things, his parents send him off to military school under General Genghis Khan Schmitz.
Okay. It sounds fun.
It's a fun musical.
Usually I'm not on board for musicals I haven't listened to.
No, it is a fun and crazy musical. So what you said was if you have enough crazy characters with enough colour, like this is definitely it. There are so
many
characters.
How
many
sequins can we squeeze into this musical?
Look, you could put a million on each bird girl. Like they could.
Everyone can wear sequins.
Yeah, there's this gorgeous
literally.
If there's room for every character to wear sequins, you know I'm on board with the musical.
I mean.
The sour kangaroo could have sequins too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you do not know how much I've heard about this sour kangaroo.
So she is like Aretha Queen. She is.
It's a freaking constant in my life.
Julie is often recommended to listen to Seussical, to hear the sour kangaroo songs, and so that she can learn them and perhaps perform them one day. But I will say, in my opinion, the fact that all of these Seussical references are pushed into Seussical is also the problem with the musical because it's very long.
Yeah.
Very long.
I'm looking at Act 1 and Act 2 right now and it is a hefty read.
Yep. Like, it is because it's so episodic. Like you look at all these different, like every character has their own story and we see that.
Yeah.
The good thing in the show is we do see that. We see each person's arc, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. It is a lot.
And it is sung through. Mm-hmm. So it is a sung through musical. So it is a challenge.
There's a lot of ensemble work as well that has some tricky harmonies in it. I mean, they're beautiful, but when you're doing a sung through musical, and like the Bird Girls are on a lot and they have really tricky harmonies and they're like this little Supremes backup group that appear.
That also sounds fun.
Yeah. They are super fun. And they appear for everything. I'm back up Maisie, they back up Sour Kangaroo.
I'm going to Google and see if there's any musical happening.
Yeah.
So,
check out the Bird Girls.
I mean, we have said that it follows the main arc of Horton Hears a Who.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. I don't know how much we want to get into the actual plot because there is a lot of it. It is kind of backwards and forwards. Horton Hears a Who is basically an elephant because of his big ears, picks up a piece of fluff on a flower and hears someone shouting for help. And no one else in the whole jungle believes him. They think that he's gone crazy. They put him on trial and they exile him. Then he gets chased by the Wickersham brothers. And he loses it.
That's right.
In a field of clover, he has to find this one dust mote.
And it goes through the whole thing.
And it goes through the whole thing.
Clover by clover.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so then he gives up and he discovers that he finds Maisie LeBird. Now, Maisie is a fabulous bird. Giant tail feathers, as much charisma as one bird can have. And she's a showgirl.
Yeah.
And she went away.
She is the diva.
Like. And she fell in love with a jazz musician. And she,
as all showgirls do.
And she got in some trouble and she has an egg to take care of.
And she, oh my gosh.
And she just
girl,
needs.
Honey.
She just needs some time off. And she asks Horton to take care of it.
No.
Just for a day.
Just for a
so
day.
She can have a rest day, a break for her.
And then she doesn't come back.
Oh my goodness.
She flies the coop and goes to Palm Beach with the Cat in the Hat.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love this musical.
So, and this is where Gertrude McFuzz comes in. Gertrude McFuzz is Horton's neighbor who is secretly in love with him but doesn't want to say anything because she doesn't believe that she's worthy of love.
No.
And,
oh my God.
And her story is about her finding a doctor to prescribe drugs that will make her tail grow extra feathers.
Wait, is this really not a PG musical?
No, it really is.
It's presented in a way that children will understand.
They're little pills on a tree. The little berries will help her tail grow.
Yeah, and so she grows a giant tail and then she goes after Horton to help him. And so then she finds the dust mote. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, she finds the mote.
She finds the clover.
Yeah.
So while Horton is stuck looking after Maisie's egg, he can't continue his search. So she's written 412 love songs for him.
Oh,
she's done all sorts of things. And she's like, I know how I can get his attention.
Yeah.
I'll find the clover.
Oh.
And then, of course, to save it.
Yeah.
Because she's got a big tail, she can't fly anymore, but she has to fly, so she has to pluck all the extra feathers out to
sacrifice.
Save it.
Sacrifice.
Yep. To be able to go to Horton and bring him.
Guys, you should always explain the musicals to me. This is great.
And then the Who's.
Wow.
Jojo, who is shouting for help, he isn't believed because he's got a wild imagination and the Who's don't like it. They think that he should stick to what he knows. So they send him off to military school.
He's the Elder Cunningham.
Yeah.
He has, it's not all his fault though. The Cat in the Hat does like instigate a lot.
I love the Cat in the Hat and I love the Grinch because they're both turds and I love them for it.
Yeah, the Cat in the Hat can definitely be described as a turd.
Except the Cat in the Hat stays a turd.
Yeah.
And so at the climax, for all the children in the room, thank you, Josh. Jojo convinces everyone to shout as loud as they can so that someone other than Horton can hear them. The sour kangaroo and the jungle animals hear. They believe Horton. They gather around to protect this tiny little world that's in a dust mote on a clover.
Mm.
The egg hatches and it's a little elephant, like Horton.
A little elephant
with wings.
Bird.
Wait, so hold on. Old Miss Jazz Singer. No,
because he cared for the egg.
Because Horton cared for the egg.
So
the
environment egg plays a play here. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Commentary.
Oh my goodness. Someone needs to go call a biologist because that is some very interesting stuff.
Beep boop, beep, beep boop. Hey Josh.
Oh hey Julie, what's up?
I got a biology question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Can a bird and an elephant mate?
Well, no, but.
Josh, sorry, just to like butt in on this
Hello.
Line. You know, the Disney movie Dumbo.
Yes.
Yeah. You know how that has no basis in physical reality.
Yes.
But it's still a beloved movie.
Right.
So I think we can apply the same logic to Seussical. Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So because it's a fictional world, because Cat in a Hat isn't like a real cat and a real hat.
Oh my gosh.
And beep, the Grinch beep, doesn't even beep, exist. Beep,
sorry, Zane, I've got Julie trying to call me on the other line.
Yeah, no, hold on.
Hello, Josh.
Yeah, hey, Julie, sorry. Yeah.
I've just found out that the Cat in the Hat is not a real thing.
Wait, what? From who? Who told you that?
You need to hang up that phone.
Yeah, well, yes, I've got a wiretap on all your calls. yeah, mind blown.
And so he says, I love this little creature, but I can't.
He can't. Care. Who's going to teach the bird, the elephant bird, how to
Guys,
fly?
Guys, stop it. I've got this. Gertrude and Horton team up to raise this hybrid offspring.
And in the end, it's not about Horton falling in love with her. It's about her caring for the child and their bonding over that makes them a pair.
But do they fall in love?
It's never explicit. But they're going to team up to parent this elephant bird.
So the line, yeah, they will. So in the end, the last song, Sour Kangaroo says, "We will all together care for this clover for the Hoos." And Gertrude says, "Like we together will care for the elephant bird."
Yeah.
So it is about coming together for the good of someone else. Like,
goodness.
Yeah.
Seuss was all about morals and caring for others regardless of your differences. And Seussical really does epitomize all of that and present it in a very entertaining way. And the music is phenomenal. Yeah. Speaking of which, what is your favorite song?
Okay, it's actually really hard.
Isn't it?
It's so hard. I really love Biggest Blame Fool, but that's because I love all of Sour Kangaroo's vocals and I love the manner.
Does she riff a lot?
Yeah.
Is she like, I'm a Sour Kangaroo?
That's actually a pretty close aim for it. Yeah.
Okay. For
those, so when you're not trying.
for those of you who haven't listened to Seussical because you think it's a kids' musical, please go and listen to it. It is, the music is so fun to listen to.
It is. And it's quite diverse too because it's really a dual ensemble show. There's the jungle and then there's Whoville and they have really different style. The Whoville songs are very like 60s fun, very cute and, Stepford-y, whereas the jungle stuff is more of that riffing,
very
has
funky.
More of soul and funk, all through it. So it really has quite a diverse soundtrack.
And then Horton songs are quite ballady, like classic musical theatre.
Oh, actually, I really love the Horton and JoJo duet.
Alone in the Universe. Yeah.
That is gorgeous. But I think Biggest Blame Fool is generally what I would choose to play a lot would be Biggest Blame Fool.
I need to go back and listen to this because we were talking before, I haven't seen this musical since I was probably like 12. Mm. Yeah, it needs a revisit.
My favorite song.
Green Eggs and Ham.
My favorite song is a pair of songs, and I think that they should be consumed together.
Okay.
One after the other. They play after each other, not directly, but into each other. The One Feather Tale of Miss Gertrude McFuzz.
Yes,
and Amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You do need the juxtaposition of the two birds, completely. And the squawking that happens when the bird girls enter, interrupting Gertrude's beautiful little heartfelt ballad.
Yeah. I mean, I have been dreaming for almost what year is it now? Probably almost 12 years about how to put on this show, and it is as like a Vegas stage show.
Oh my God, I love it.
With giant feather boas and sequins and yeah.
So can I just say, can you do that? Because the reason I know Seussical is I love it. And for years I've wanted to audition for Sour Kangaroo and no one does it. And I had the opportunity to work on Seussical Junior and I did. But I spent the whole time going, I still really want to do this. Mm-hmm. Can someone do this show, please?
I mean, the problem with staging Seussical is that it is massive.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing.
It is massive.
It's all sung through. There's so many characters and the costuming is just mind-boggling for each and every character, whether every you double cast or not. Like even the Who's, you have facial prosthesis and as well as their costumes. It is a big show to put on.
Yeah.
And so that's why you don't get a lot of community theatres putting it on because it's such a giant task.
It is.
And honestly, like,
but
I...
it's worth it.
If they
it's
do
beautiful.
Beauty and the Beast, they can do it.
That is true. That is true.
Let's not be lazy now.
All it takes is one company to do it really well and then ship the costumes around the country to everyone else who wants
and then
to do
find
it.
An equally good prosthetics.
Yeah. Prostheticist? Prosthesist? Ooh.
Prostate? No.
Nope. That's something else.
So I just want to quickly, I know we spent a lot of time on this section of the musical, but I love it.
Yes.
I just want to quickly run through all of the Seuss titles that have some element incorporated into musical.
There are so many.
So Horton Hears a Who, obviously. Mm. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Yep. The Lorax, Green Eggs and Ham, Yertle the Turtle, Horton Hatches the Egg. Oh. I had trouble in getting this to Sola Salou. And to think I saw it on Mulberry Street, McGilligot's Pool, Oh Say Can You Say, Hunches in Bunches, If I Ran the Circus, Dr. Seuss's ABC, The Butler Battle Book. Oh, the Things You Can Think, The Cat in the Hat, The Sneeches and Other Stories, Did I Ever Tell You How Lucky You Are, Oh, The Places You'll Go, and Gertrude McFuzz. Those are all the source books that are crammed into this one musical.
Yeah.
Before I said that I didn't like Horton Hears a Who off air, I do like Horton Hears a Who. I don't like The Lorax.
No! Okay.
I fell asleep in The Lorax.
No, it's so in the movie theaters.
I will say The Lorax is very small in Seussical. That's not apologizing for it. It's just it doesn't play a huge role.
Yeah.
I happen to know
there was originally a song that was more in depth in the original production of Seussical. I think it was in the workshops that Eric Idle did in 99 and then was taken out by the time they got to Broadway.
People also write some really weird fan fiction about a character in The Lorax.
Oh.
Okay, well, let's not talk about it.
We're not going to talk about it.
Let's not talk
just
about
let it be
fan
known
fiction on this episode.
That it's out there.
I just want to say Seussical, when it was originally on Broadway, it was only nominated for one Tony Award, which was Best Actor.
But he deserved,
he deserved
that nomination.
It. He definitely did.
Not even Best Costumes.
No.
Given everything that we've just talked about.
Well,
everything we've spoken about is in my head.
So the show, how this is typically done, is very, the characters are very implied, their costumes. So it sort of forces you to invoke your own imagination. So they're dressed street clothes.
I don't want to have to imagine anything.
Yeah, yeah. They should be flamboyant. I agree with you. But so costumes, no, because it was like grey suits, grey tie.
Yeah. I see.
I think you could also set in like a circus setting where the sour kangaroo is like a clown with one of those big hoop pants with another little person playing the baby. Or with like a puppet.
Oh,
I was
going to
say, if you, so there is, everyone that likes Seussical generally has a strong opinion whether the baby kangaroo should be a puppet
or a person.
Or a person. What do you think? Puppet?
Puppet?
Okay, good.
I don't know. I remember the baby kangaroo from Horton being like an absolute shit. Like, oh. censorship. I feel like maybe having like a real person to emote that better might be better.
Maybe.
I'm feeling really sheepish from using a naughty word. Say complete for now.
And I think I think it is worth saying that there is a one-act version of Seussical Jr. Mm. And I think personally, though I love the show, I think the junior version is the clearer, more concise, probably easier to stage version.
How do you even...
So they took some things out. They took the general out, so he doesn't go to boot camp.
Okay.
He just gets yelled at by his parents and sent to the
bathroom. How do they do the whole showgirl egg?
Still happens.
Okay.
Well, it's just a bird sitting on a nest.
True. You don't see anything.
And she doesn't say she got in trouble. She's just like she fell in love and now she's got an egg.
She appears on a tree on an egg and she's like, I bet you never thought you'd see me sitting on an egg. Like it's just already happened.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all very sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
But I agree the junior version feels less disjointed. Yeah. I think because they took some things out, it's a little more concise.
Because the original show, if you break it down into the structure of narrative, a normal show will have three acts, and in a musical, you usually have your first two acts in the first act and the third act, and the third act is the second act.
Mm.
In Horton Hears a Who, you've got three acts in the first act.
Oh, mercy.
And two in the second.
Mm. Good sweet heavens.
So you've got a lot of storytelling to get through and it does kind of feel a little bit, oh, we've got this character in for one scene, why?
Yeah.
But I love it.
The only thing, there's only one thing I don't like about the junior is that we hear a reprise of How Lucky You Are with Maisie and the cat without hearing the cat's How Lucky You Are.
Oh.
And that's the only thing I don't like about it is that I think we need the cat's How Lucky You Are for Maisie's to make even more sense.
Yeah.
So it's the only thing I don't like about the junior one.
Anyway, we are done fixing Seussical because it is a great text even with its problems.
It is good.
And everyone should do it more often.
You should listen to it.
Absolutely. If you haven't already, I'm going to be listening to it for the next few days.
Yay!
Let's move on, and we will talk Dreamcast.
Oh.
Who are we putting in our Dreamcast of Seussical? Literally anyone could go anywhere. Like there is no restrictions on gender, on race.
I'm putting Whoopi Goldberg.
As Cat in the Hat.
I was gonna say Cat in the Hat because I saw her play the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
But also maybe Sour Kangaroo.
No, I actually like her as Cat in the Hat.
Okay,
I had someone in mind for Cat in the Hat.
This is why.
But I think Whoopi is
I
even
do
better.
Casting on Broadway, guys.
So I'd originally thought Neil Patrick Harris, but I actually like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Neil Patrick Harris would be who would I put him as?
The Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah. I was thinking the Grinch.
Yeah, I mean, but I want him in it more.
Yeah, Grinch has a cameo.
Well, maybe we should just put the Grinch in it more.
Or maybe the Grinch gets his own musical, I think.
Ooh.
The Universal one? Yes. Yeah. He already has one. It's amazing.
Good. I think, like, that's the thing. Anyone with comedy chops, my Horton pick would be John C. Reilly. Because this is the kind of role, like him in Chicago as Amos, I think that is what I would like him to bring to Horton.
Because he can do that little heartbreak role. The
well-meaning and like, no, I'm not going to tell you no, but I can't do what you're asking me to do.
Yeah, because he needs that warmth. Mm. You've got to like... endearing and things. Yeah, no, I can see that. Mm. The only reason I was like, no, put Whoopi Goldberg and Cat in the Hat is because I have a strong preference for who should play Sour Kangaroo.
Sour Kangaroo.
Mm.
And
I want Keala Settle to play.
Of course, Keala Settle. I was going to say it has to be Keala Settle, right?
So I'm done on that and no more talk about her. No, seriously, but I like her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are we putting? Fill in the blank of who I'm thinking of.
Gertrude.
No, I'm not thinking of characters from Seussical. I'm thinking of a person that you would usually cast. John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
Yeah.
he would be great as the general, I think.
Ah, yeah.
He'd be hilarious
as
the general.
So that's Zac Efron as Jojo.
Zac Efron as one of the Wickersham brothers because they can be shirtless. Their song is also really, really physical, dancey song.
It's very like hip hop funk.
Like, done.
Yeah. Like you could have Zac Efron, you could have Channing Tatum, you could have.
Can you imagine Zac Efron and Channing Tatum
both shirtless?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. You could really add that adult element to that.
Can we swap in
song?
Like just one time Channing will do? Oh, sorry, I just had a better idea. Scrap that whole conversation I was about to have. Can we have Tom Holland as JoJo?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good. Good choice.
He's a bit old.
Yeah.
Well, yes, he's an adult.
Yeah. I know, but JoJo also has to be, I don't know, like the youthfulness of him is the naivety.
Does he have to be a small child?
I guess he doesn't have to be a small child, but he has to have that naivety of he believes that, you know, he just believes shouting out help, people will hear him, and that will work.
He plays like a 13 to 16 year old child in the Avengers, right?
So
he could do it.
I mean, he plays a 15-year-old in the Avengers, and JoJo is 9, I think.
So that's only a couple of years.
We've suspended Billy on Broadway.
How about, can we say 5 years ago he played him?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Okay, yeah, right.
You're
right.
Fixed.
Yeah,
good.
Yes. Who, now, my pick for Gertrude.
Okay.
Is someone that I don't think can sing.
Oh. Do it.
But they could love, sing. I love the idea and the image of Joan Cusack as Gertrude McFuzz.
Yeah. Well, then the
because that playing that really sad and pathetic, hopeful person.
Oh, maybe the potential equivalent would be she actually was in The Grinch as Martha.
Oh, you're talking about Christine Baranski?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's similar.
See, I think Christine Baranski would be a great Maisie.
Is that the showgirl?
Yeah.
That's the showgirl. Yeah.
She's kind of the big brassy one.
I was thinking
Fringe. I like Lindsay Mendez as Maisie, though.
I mean, that's the thing. You're casting older than.
That's true.
But again, having Christine Baranski play this aging showgirl, like this literally, I think she's early 60s. Showgirl.
Oh.
Like, but she's hot.
I mean, she's
but
still
Maisie
got it.
Has, you know, she's not naive by any point. She's been around the block.
Like, she knows. Yeah. She knows what she's doing. She knows what she's got and she knows how to do it.
Yeah. So having a bit of maturity there doesn't hurt.
I think if you're casting younger, then you can go for those big brassy types like Megan Hilty, sort of people that can legitimately pull off that showgirl strut and like have the curves and the something and whatever to accentuate. Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Because Maisie is again a big belt.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing with the shows. There are so many good roles that have strong vocals. Like, so Maisie's a big belt. Sal Kangaroo's a big belt. Gertrude has to have this beautiful, soft, like.
But
she still belts in the All For You.
Yeah, yeah.
Like.
And all of these characters have need to be singers because even the tiny character roles, like even the Yertle the Turtle.
The judge, when he comes out, he has this big solo line that has, like, he has to sustain this note and then add vibrato. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So really, I think anyone with decent comedy chops. Yeah. Would be great in this show.
Mm.
Like, put Neil Patrick Harris in the Wickersham brothers.
I would also be happy with seeing him topless.
Yeah.
So we're going Neil Patrick Harris, Zac Efron, and
Channing Tatum.
Tatum, potentially The Rock. Throw Rob Lowe in there.
I mean, The Rock can't sing. That's
we
the
know
problem.
That.
Because otherwise, I would have put him as Yertle, I think.
Can we put Rob Lowe in as something? I love Rob Lowe.
I mean, just put him in a dream car somewhere.
Yeah.
Does anyone have particularly strong feelings about the Who's? So about the mayor and his wife.
I feel like Jeffrey Tambor was such a perfect the mayor.
What like about Christian Boyle as the
Ball? Christian Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
As the mayor, maybe. Oh. Yeah. I don't know.
Would also. Kristen Ball would also play a pretty good Horton. I'll say that. Like that's, I think he has that softness.
The softer side, yeah.
All right. Are we?
Crushed it.
Yeah.
I think Audra could fit in here, but I think we need I think we've got a fine cast without Audra.
Yeah.
All right. We're moving on. That's okay. What's going on. We're going on to do top five list. Alrighty then. Top five lists. Top five ensemble shows.
Yeah.
I mean, the ensemble in this show has so much to do.
I would say even more specific, the top five Jewel ensemble shows. So like Hairspray, that has your Jewel cut. Like this has like a Jewel ensemble. Yeah, so.
Your
top
Who's five, and
yeah,
your Jungle.
Yeah, your Who's versus your Jungle. Oh. And they're different style of vocally. They're a different style of choreo.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Like it.
Top five. Oh,
animals, I mean, as leading peoples.
Yes. Yeah. I think this could also fit in a top.
That's just cats in this. I think.
Lion King.
Oh, we've got Lion King. I mean, we don't. Yeah,
you're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Snoopy.
Yeah, there we go.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, what she said.
Yeah.
We are filling out this list quick.
A lion.
Yeah,
we're on it.
Now, Gertrude is one of my top five favorite female characters of all time.
Wow.
Gertrude. I love Gertrude. Horton is one of my dream roles, but he's not on my top five list of male characters. I just think it's a great role. Gertrude is one of my favorite female characters.
Mm. Wow.
I don't know if it belongs on a universal list.
Yeah.
But for me.
Well, I think she definitely, as a character, has a lot of growth during the course of the musical.
Yeah.
Because when we first see her, she's too shy even to speak up really to Horton. And then in the end, she's crossed over, you know, deserts and mountains and oceans. And she's like, so much stronger by the end of the musical than when we meet her.
She has a lot more growth than Horton because Horton really stays the same person. It's just the world that changes around him in the situation.
People accepting him.
Whereas Gertrude literally grows as a person to achieve her goal.
Yeah. And she goes through the like sandy transformation from Greece, you know, and then comes out of it, realizes she doesn't need it. Yeah. Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if all of the books in it retain some of their lessons from it, then maybe it's in the top five musicals with the most potential lessons to be learned.
Is that a topical list?
It's said constantly in the musical, a person's a person no matter how small. And it's all about hearing, like, you know, even if they're small and don't have a big voice like Gertrude or Jojo, like, you know, they're still valuable and can save the day.
The rights of animals, the stuff about valuing yourself as a person, treating your children like people instead of like property. Like, top five musicals to learn lessons from. I think Seussical definitely belongs on that list.
Yep.
That's definitely a Patreon list we should do.
Okay. I'm patting the podcast cat right now. I'll say yes to anything. Not doing homework though. Don't ask me to do homework.
I would also say top five choices for schools. And
if you had to choose between Honk and Seussical, Seussical.
Must definitely.
If you have 90 people to put in a show, Seussical is super easy to do that in.
Because not only can you make the ensembles huge there's so many characters with lines and ages too, like grades. Yeah.
You know, 1 to 3, you're gonna be this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easy peasy.
Yep.
I would put it on top five children book adaptations. There are a lot of them. Again, we were talking about Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, and there's James and the Giant Peach and Matilda.
I don't know if you count the Disney ones as book adaptations because they're from movies from books, but they're 1 degree of separation.
So people may not agree with me on this, but I'm going to say it because it's on my top five list of this. Top five list of musical adaptations that are better than the movie adaptations. So I like the Seussical movie better than I like Horton Hears Who.
I'd agree with
that. There's a Seussical movie?
No. Sorry, I like Seussical musical.
Right.
It's better than the
Definitely. So of the book, there's the movie, Horton Hears Who, and there's the musical, Seussical.
Yeah.
I think the musical's better than me.
But if you say that of Grinch, I'm going to have to come over there and fight.
Well, there isn't a Grinch musical.
Yes, there is.
Okay, well.
But the movie's better?
But the movie's always better.
Okay. I think nostalgia has a little bit to do with that.
Oh, yeah, the new one was not good.
And I won't hold that against you because I'm sure that nostalgia has a lot to do with my appreciation of Seussical as well. I want to put Sal a Kangaroo on a list. I don't know what list she belongs on, though.
Top five things you constantly cast me as.
To be fair, I cast a lot of people as Sour Kangaroo because I think the people that I am attracted to be friends in the world in general.
To be friends.
Well, yes, Julie, I'm a homosexual.
I'm aware. You've told me so many times now.
I have to keep repeating myself.
I prefer it when you go, I'm a gay. That makes me laugh.
I think I'm just attracted to the personalities that would play the Sour Kangaroo.
Okay.
Or that would easily play the Sour Kangaroo.
Top five list for Sour Kangaroo.
I think top five voice of the people. Because she is the one that when you convince her, everyone is convinced.
She instigates everything in the jungle.
Top five mob leaders.
Yes, but also Bobby Strong is a mob leader and he would fit into this role as well. So Bobby Strong from Urinetown, of course. Yeah.
She does it with like a single line though.
Yeah, yeah.
Single line and the whole jungle is against Horton. And then she's like, okay, I accept that. We'll protect it with you. And then everyone's happy. Like,
yeah, she's the voice of the people.
She has power.
Yeah. Mm. Even more than the judge.
Oh, way more than the judge.
Shall we just go through the great songs? I don't know. It deserves to be on more lists.
It does deserve to be on more lists. So another top five list is I actually adore the overture for this.
Yes. Yeah.
So once you know the musical and you listen to the overture, you can't help but sing along to it. But considering it's quite a small, like it's not a full orchestra, it's a more rock band. Considering the size of the band, I think the overture is amazing. So top five rock band overtures?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? That's a thing now.
It's a thing now. We've made it a thing. I'd put Amazing Maisie on top five songs for female cabarets.
Ooh.
I think it is a song that can be adapted to so many different kind of intonations so that you can use it as like what I was or what I want to be or what I am right now and why you should love me or why you never will love me because I'm an Amazing Maisie and you are not.
Yeah.
I think Amazing Maisie is a very versatile song and so much fun it can fit in a lot of different texts.
Yeah. No, I can definitely see that. Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm going to stop gushing and we're going to move on. We're just going to have a little bit of a break and we'll come back with our goodbyes. All right. Thank you very much for joining us and finally bringing us Seussical to talk about.
Yay. Thank you for having me. And I loved talking about Seussical. It's not spoken about enough.
It isn't spoken about enough. And I know that it didn't get a lot of love on Broadway or elsewhere.
When it did its two tours, like they were quite successful. Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
And I think it. Yeah, it is underrated. I think it has so much room for interpretation in the way that you present it.
I think if you can find a way to advertise Seussical like you would Avenue Q, then you might have more success in getting an adult audience.
Yeah, it's not quite as adult as Avenue Q.
I know it's not.
Even though it's dealing with very adult issues.
You may have to play on those issues to get the adult audience
Maybe we do. All right, but thank you again for listening this week, everyone. If you want to find out more about us, you can go to our home on the web, thatsnotcanon.com/MTMEIK. That is where you will find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, and to our Instagram, and also to our Patreon. And if you want to become one of the best people in the world, aka one of our patrons, for as little as $1 American a month, you can donate to us and you will get at least one extra episode a month, as well as a whole bunch of goodies when Julie does her homework.
I think I saying catch up on that many drawings?
Well, the challenge has been thrown down. So the most important thing that you can do that won't cost you anything at all is to go onto your podcatcher, be that Stitcher, be it iTunes, be it Spotify, give us a rating and a review if you can, and then tell all of your musical friends in the show that you are in right now that this podcast exists and that they need to get on it. Because as soon as we get to episode 100, episodes will stop
appearing.
They will start dropping off the iTunes playlist.
No.
They will stop dropping off your Spotify playlist.
No.
And you will have to go to our website and listen manually.
No.
Or you can go there and you can save them down now. So go on, check out our episodes on your favorite podcast. We have done almost 100 now. So go check out our back catalog. And thank you once again, Alicia.
Thank you. I had an amazing time.
Thank you again, super guest host Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, my amazing co-host, Julie.
You're so welcome.
And we will be here same time next week, everyone. Until then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
What should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainty Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.